It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. Today is Friday, March 22nd. I'm Erin Fulton with Raven News. The governor's surprise veto of the education bill has thrown school districts across the state into turmoil, and Sitka is no exception. Even if the legislature rides to the rescue, as it has in the past, with some last-minute funding by the time it adjourns in May, it's unlikely that it will come close to reversing the damage done by the governor's veto, which is forcing school closures in the state's largest districts in Juneau and Fairbanks. In Sitka, it hasn't come to that yet. Right now, the district administration is only discussing reducing the number of teaching positions, but that could change. School officials appeared in a forum on KCAW Wednesday night to discuss the potential fallout from the veto. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
You don't even have to pay close attention to politics to realize that something was up in Juneau this year. At the governor's request, a nearly unanimous legislature approved a funding package for schools to make up for almost a decade of neglect, and then the governor turned around and erased the bill with a stroke of his pen. The Sitka School Board's student member, Felix Myers, said none of this was lost on his classmates.
I think right now there's some, you know, talks about trying to do like a statewide student protest. I think that's something that we're looking at. And I mean, kids aren't stupid. Kids know what's going on.
Myers said that 9 years of flat funding for education by the state would eventually become apparent, as the Sitka School District is going to have to cut teachers, even if the legislature manages to pass a last-minute appropriation. The legislature, however, took extraordinary pains to shore up schools this year. He says there's genuine anger over the governor's reversal and the impact it's going to have on students' lives.
You might not have been able to see it before. You're going to see it now. And that is not something our children deserve. They don't deserve to be pawns in a political game. Their education and their futures should not be sacrificed because one person wants to continue their political agenda.
Governor Dunleavy's agenda is hard to pin down. He wanted to streamline the creation of charter schools, and he favored cash bonuses for teachers. In his veto of the education bill, the governor wrote, "This bill fails to address the innovations necessary to allow Alaska students to excel." He also said, "True reform must embrace a willingness to provide alternative methods of education to meet the varying needs of our student population." People assume this is a reference to charter schools and cash bonuses, neither of which were specifically included in the bill. Assistant Superintendent Deidre Jensen said they didn't need to be in the bill. More school funding was really the answer for both.
Innovation takes money. If you want us to do new things, we are just barely getting by doing the requirements and the additional requirements with the AK Reads Act. Innovation is key to what we would like to do. The charter schools reaches just a small population. There are so many school districts out there that just would never have the ability to have a charter school formulated in their communities. It's just so restrictive to meeting all of our students' needs.
The worst case scenario for Alaska schools would be that this legislature never rallies to send one-time money to schools, or that the governor vetoes it again. This is what the Sitka School District calls the zero BSA option, which means no increase to the base student allocation. This translates to a budget deficit of over $3 million in the Sitka School District. Board President Tristan Gavon said the number of faculty positions to offset this is staggering.
You know, you're looking in that kind of 20, 25 and above range. You know, and that's the challenge for us. We've been making those cuts. We've been tightening our belt for, you know, basically the past decade. Teacher classroom budgets are down, as you just heard. Funding is frozen on some of those supplies and other things. And so, you know, we've cut some of those other auxiliary positions. And yeah, there's really nowhere else to look besides staff.
If teachers go, the main academic classes would all remain, perhaps in more crowded classrooms. It's all the other stuff that's at risk: shop classes, art, music, and activities. Felix Myers said he knows many students who attend just for these classes.
It's all those extra things that make school worth going to. Oh, and sports, extracurriculars, things like that. Those are the first things that that get cut.
Board member Todd Gebler has served 3 years and has seen this drama play out in Juneau every legislative session. He's concerned about being forced to make decisions that are expedient now but have lasting consequences.
When those programs are gone, they normally don't come back. As a board member, that weighs heavy on my head. These are things that I'm going to have to cut. These are teaching positions. These are people's livelihoods that I'm going to have to cut. From the governor's perspective of what he did, as a board member, it's incredibly frustrating. You know, the anger is kind of going away, kind of not. And I don't know why I'm so surprised, but the state is chronically disappointed us as far as education funding goes.
Part of that disappointment is timing. Gebler and other board members have to settle on a budget by April 17th to meet the city's deadline. The legislature likely wouldn't take any action on supplemental school funding until the following month, when many teachers have already received pink slips and have begun to look for work outside of Sitka. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
A regional working group in southeast Alaska wants to create a landslide warning system, a tool that will monitor the region's hazardous weather and warn residents of potential risks of slides. Sitka already has a system, but as Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports, the new working group is brainstorming ways to serve even southeast's smaller communities.
11 people have died in southeast landslides since 2015, 3 in Sitka, 2 in Haines, and 6 in Wrangell. And there is reason to believe that that number could grow.
I think we can all imagine that landslides could increase.
Eric Bilderback manages several landslide hazard scientific projects for the U.S. Geological Survey. He says climate change is impacting the weather, and then the weather is impacting the landscape.
We don't know for sure whether that landscape response is going to lead to specifically more landslides or more frequent landslides or different types of landslides. We just know that there is going to be a change in Southeast.
Lisa Bush saw this coming. She runs the Sitka Sound Science Center, and she helped win millions of dollars in grant funding to set up a warning system in Sitka after the deadly 2015 landslide. Now she's working with half a dozen communities in the region to get one of their own through a project called Kuti, which means weather and think it. It's much needed, she says, but the funding is not sustainable.
We're seeing the environment change. Why should we have to compete for grants to stay safe or to help our communities stay safe?
The Science Center is spearheading a regional landslide working group, bringing in tribes and local governments from all over Southeast, along with state and federal agency experts like Bilderback. They held their first meeting in early March in Sitka. Bush says time is of the essence. Climate change is happening now.
And we know we probably can't stop that, but hopefully we could stop future human tragedies. So if you had a warning, you know, you could evacuate your home. That's the idea.
Southeast Alaska is mostly steep slopes covered in trees. It's also a temperate rainforest, with some communities seeing over 100 inches of precipitation a year. The region's recent landslides are caused by a lot of rain in a short amount of time. The number of slides is staggering. Last fall, there were dozens region-wide, and several roads were cut off on Prince of Wales Island, near Metlakatla in southern southeast, and near Hoona in the north.
It's not just the community that we're concerned about landslides. We have a huge road network.
Jeremy Grant is with the Hoona Indian Association and a member of the working group. He says his diet, like others in Hoona, is 70% subsistence foods, and past landslides have cut off some important roads that lead to subsistence areas.
For hunting, gathering, you name it. Like that essentially is, you know, that is my religion out there, so that's my access to everything.
Grant says the group, by pooling their resources and knowledge, could help Southeast residents become better prepared.
This is such a growing concern because the weather seems to be getting worse and worse, and these events are becoming more and more frequent, especially with all the tragedies happening. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Advances in technology have made monitoring landslides easier. The infrastructure supporting the equipment, everything from solar power to batteries to cell phone service, has gotten better and cheaper. But installation and maintenance will still take money and a bit of stamina, says Bilderback, the USGS scientist. The region needs weather and soil monitoring equipment set up on the hill slopes.
they can't just be down at the airport. Southeast is, it's so big, and locating equipment at elevation, it's going to require support.
Support in a sustainable way. That's the idea behind the Regional Landslide Project, building something similar to other government-funded programs like monitoring for volcanoes or tsunamis. If it works in Southeast Alaska, perhaps it could work in other areas of the country, which are also seeing more landslides. Reporting for Coast Alaska, in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
I'm Erin Fulton, and this has been Raven News. Thank you.